I'm pleased to see that everyone has made it here, although we had to spring forward. Can be a little confusing, but welcome. So glad that you are here. I have often been accused of talking a lot. Ever since I was a little girl, I seemed to have the chatter bug. Matter of fact, in the classroom, that's what would often get me in trouble, was talking a little too much. And I guess that's partially true, as I find myself striking up conversations with strangers, with people I do not know. I could be in the line at the grocery store, or at the doctor's office, or getting my oil changed, and for some reason, I just start to talk. Usually, these conversations begin with talking about the weather. That's a simple topic that everybody can relate to. And then they also may go to the question, where are you from? When I tell people that I'm from Indiana, and I know this is hard to believe, some people look at me and aren't really sure where I'm talking about. They know that Indiana is someplace in the Midwest, but they don't know a whole lot about Indiana. So I start to rattle off these details. Indiana is the home of the Indy 500. Indiana is where Michael Jackson was born. And Indiana is the crossroads of America. How many of you all knew those fun facts about my home state? There's not a prize involved in that, but just wanted to know. The crossroads of America is actually Indiana's state motto because there are several interstates that cross each other in Indiana and allow for people to travel to various locations in the United States. But importantly, a crossroads is not only defined as intersections of highways, but also crossroads can be defined as a point at which a crucial decision must be made that will have far-reaching consequences, a critical juncture, a turning point, or opportunity to change direction or course. This morning, in our Old Testament lesson, we find that Abram is at a crossroads. He and his wife Sarah are living in Haran. His father has passed away, his brother has also died, and they have custody of his nephew Lot. It is here that the Lord calls Abram to leave his country, his family, his kin group, his source of identity. It is here that the Lord calls upon him to leave his father's house, his financial security and protection. So essentially, God is asking him to leave his life that he's comfortable in and to give up a lifestyle that was very familiar. Now, despite all these promised blessings, you will be blessed, you will be the father of a great nation, all of your enemies will be cursed, the move that God has proposed is a bit risky. God called upon him to leave Haran, and actually Haran means crossroads, and go to a place that's unknown and unfamiliar. And I think that Abram must have had a few questions. Will my wife and I be accepted in this new place? Will I be able to support my family? How will my nephew Lot get adjusted? Abram was certainly at a crossroads, a point of crucial decision that would impact the future of his entire family. And sure, God made these promises to Abram, but he had no way of knowing how these promises would work themselves out. However, relying on his faith, he said yes to God's request for him to go. Abram accepting this command to go marked the beginning of a journey that would eventually save the world. I would guess that most of us have reached a crossroads in our lives at some time or another. Places where we have found ourselves faced with deciding whether or not to go forward or to stay where we are. Should I pursue a new job? Should I end or begin a relationship? Should I move to another location? At these junctures, we often consult friends and family. Some of us make charts, like me, and graphs, and hopefully, we ask for God's guidance. Seldom do we immediately make a decision or say yes to an opportunity, even if that opportunity is appealing. In our gospel lesson this morning, we see a learned and well-respected Pharisee, Nicodemus, has sought out Jesus in the cover of the night. Now, there's been a lot of speculation and theories around why Nicodemus waited until it was dark to go and see Jesus. Maybe he feared that his Pharisee friends, who weren't quite convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, would exclude him and question his competence if they knew that he was seeking to spend time with Jesus. Perhaps Nicodemus was a secret disciple of Jesus and waited to see him at night because the nighttime was a traditional time set aside for studying the Torah and for theological dialogues. Or maybe it was just a matter of convenience. Jesus was busy all day talking to people, and Nicodemus wanted some time alone with Jesus to ask the specific questions that he had. Now, while we're uncertain why Nicodemus chooses to visit Jesus at night, it's clear from our scripture that Nicodemus doesn't quite understand the meaning of what Jesus is telling him. Jesus tells him that to see the kingdom of God, you must be born from above, of water and of spirit. Nicodemus takes Jesus' words literally and asks Jesus how a rebirth can occur. How can anyone re-enter the womb? So clearly, there's a problem with communication. Despite a continued dialogue, we're not certain if Jesus was ever able to get his point across to Nicodemus. Did Nicodemus understand that his stature, his education, the rituals that he so meticulously practiced did not guarantee him an elevated place in the kingdom of God, in heaven or on earth? Nicodemus is left to process everything that Jesus has talked with him about. And at the end of the conversation, he doesn't respond to Jesus by saying, "Yes, I want to follow you, to be reborn. I want to give up the safety and the security of my current life in order to lift you up." Nicodemus, at this crossroads, just fades from the scene. I think it's tempting to hold up Abram as the epitome of a good and dedicated disciple, and perhaps to label Nicodemus as unfaithful, a pretentious person who was too much of a coward to risk his good life. But I think it's important for us to understand that Abram and Nicodemus responded to the invitation to a new life, a new birth, a new reality in different ways. One way wasn't right, and the other way wasn't wrong. Abram went, and from all accounts, it was without hesitation. It was immediate. It took Nicodemus some time to decide what to do with this offer of a lifetime. When faced with a new choice, he hesitated. Maybe he needed some time to think it through, to reach out to trusted confidants, friends, family, ask for their opinions. Maybe he wondered, is a new life in Christ worth losing what I have, status, honor, and respect among my people. If you read further in the Gospel of John, it appears that Nicodemus, at this crossroads, eventually gains a better understanding of what Jesus meant that evening when he spoke to him, when he reminded him that being born from above was important, when he reminded him that the Son of Man was meant to be lifted up. In the seventh chapter of John, we find Nicodemus defending Jesus by advising his colleagues to hear and to investigate before they make a final judgment against Jesus. Further on, we find Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, openly brings a crucified Jesus, myrrh and aloe and burial preparations. He honors Jesus in his death. All of us, at some time or another, are faced with decisions or the opportunity to change the direction of our lives. We are invited into a new and deeper relationship with God. And I wonder if sometimes we forget that through the waters of our own baptism, we have committed ourselves to living the will of God in the world. When we find that our faith journey has come to a standstill, when we have reached a crossroads, we must be confident that new life emerges through old life, and that God sends us into new life by offering us and challenging us with new perspectives that interrupt our old ways of thinking and being in the world. It is upon us to take God up on this offer of a new life in Christ. Amen.